All right, Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert has had so much success in that Hall of Fame career, including top horses like Game On Dude and Silver Charm. Bob, let's just start by talking about Game On Dude for a little bit. When I say that name, Game On Dude, what are some of the memories that come to mind?
Game On Dude was just so much fun, and you know, being that he was a gelding, you know, we got to keep him around longer, and you know, winning the big cap with him was probably the most exciting thing, because at the time, one of the owners, Terry Lanny, good friend, he's president of CEO of MGM. You know, when he was growing up, he remembered his dad bringing him out to San Anita and watching the big cap. So it was huge to him all those years. And then for him to win the big cap with a horse that he owned, it was really exciting. And he just gave us, you know, horses like that, they just give you so much pleasure. And he was a barn favorite. You know, he was, you know, just a nice, sweet, loved human contact. Spoil rotten. He's an old friend now, and he sees people. He knows he'll do it, you know, just for a carrot, you know. But he was just having him around. But when he got on the track, boy, his speed was, when he'd get out there and roll, he was just really exciting to watch.
Does he still remember you when you go see him at Old Friends?
He remembers my wife, because my wife, Jill, she has all these horses, so spoiled. She comes around and she talks to him in a high-pitched voice. You know, she calls my babies. And matter of fact, we were at the Whitney. When we were at the Whitney this summer,
mm-hmm.
Well, Mackenzie was walking before we saddled the ring right before you go in the paddock. They're walking around. There was two horses walking around, all the crowded people. And I noticed that every time Mackenzie came around, he started nickering. And I thought, I've never heard that horse nicker before. You know, I thought maybe he was nickering at another horse.
Yeah.
And when he came in there, I asked the groom, I go, he's nickering. And he told me, because every time he went around, Jill was going, there's my baby. And he was nickering at Jill. thinking he was going to get a carrot. And I told Jill, you can't be doing that. But we want his game face on, you know, like it was so funny how he recognized Jill in her voice. But I think these horses, they do recognize you. You know, they've been around, and they, you know, I think your voice, whatever, they'll a certain pitch. But they're funny. I mean, they really. And the thing about and Game On Dude, he would always have visitors that people that worked on the backside really loved him. So I'd let him, you know, I share my horse, let people come in and pet him and talk to him, take pictures with him. So he was one of those.
What was the most impressive performance in his career? I know there were several, but what one stands out to you?
Well, I think the race, Santa Anita, when he won the big cap the second time, he just really just destroyed the field, and his race and the Del Mar Pacific Classic.
Yep.
Where he just went out there and just really just, I mean, he was, man, when he was on, he was really on. And, and so, unfortunately, when it came to Breeders' Cup, he had a lot of bad racing luck, and you know, he wouldn't break well, get knocked around a little bit, and just got him out of his rhythm. And it's unfortunate he didn't win a Breeders' Cup.
You know, I remember when he won the Charlestown Classic. We were there to do the broadcast, and Joe Torre stood outside by the winner's circle that night, and he signed autograph after autograph, and it was kind of a chilly night. And I remember him letting kids try on his World Series ring. How cool is that to be involved with people like Joe Torre in this game?
Well, Joe Torre, he's you know, the most respected, one of the greatest managers, but yet a true gentleman. I mean, a really true gentleman, nice guy, understands the game, loves the horses. Really, it, you know, when you sit down to him, he's just a very, very knowledgeable guy. I mean, really smart guy. And he just, you know, that was his, you know, he loved, you know, he's dealing with everything else, but that's his, you know, that's why we have horses. And he just really, you know, he couldn't make all his races and he'd show up. But it was, you know, when he'd show up, he just loved talking about it and he'd check up on me. And one time we were, I was getting him ready for a race. I forget what race, and I called him up, and he didn't answer. And then about 2 hours later, he called me back. I called him up, and he answered. Yes, Bob. He says, "Oh, I just want to just let you know that the horse worked today. He looks great. Good. I'll call you back in 2 hours." later on, he told me he was in a umpire's meeting, and they just had something go on in one of the games. There was a lot of controversy about the umpires. And they were in this meeting, and they were going over it, and he saw my phone number, and he told everybody, "I got to take this. I got to make sure my horse is okay." You know, when you hear from the trainer, it's like their stomach, just, you know, you get a knot in your stomach, you know. But it was, and when I told him, it was okay, oh, we're good. All right, let's carry on with the meeting. But, but it was just funny that he was laughing about it.
You know, long before Game On Dude came along, there was a horse by the name of Silver Charm, who I know is near and dear to your heart for a lot of reasons. When I say Silver Charm, what things come to mind?
You know what? He was a noble horse. He was just a, you know, horse that his pedigree, you know, did not say Kentucky Derby. He was just a, you know, horse that just happened to be lucky. I've just gotten beat a nose in the Kentucky Derby 1996 with Cavaneer, and I just bought Silver Charm. He had just shown up at the barn there. He was in the barn, for $80,000, and who would know that he would be the one winning the Derby the following year? And it was a magnificent ride. He's the kind of horse that he only won by enough. He'd love to fight. Once he got, you know, head to head with a horse, he knew he was not going to lose. That's the way he was. He wasn't going to give you any more. He was going to win by five. He was just going to go as fast as he needed to go. And he was just a tough, durable horse that, winning that Kentucky Derby with Bob Lewis, it was just the most out-of-body experience I've ever had to feel that feeling, because I got beat the year before. And it was like one of the greatest feelings ever. And I got to share it. My parents were around then, my whole family, so it was just a magical moment. That's why he'll always be so special to me.
Yeah, and then he nearly pulls off the Triple Crown in 97, long before you would win your first of two Triple Crowns. You know, and at that point in the Belmont Stakes, it looked like he was home free, and I know you've told me before how heartbreaking that was for you.
Yeah, it was, you know, you go through it, and I've never been through it before, and it was, just, I think the hardest part about it all was dealing with the media. I just felt like I had to talk to everybody. And I was just, you're physically and emotionally just exhausted at the end. It's just one of those things where you can't wait for the race to be over with. And when it finally was over and he ran second, you know, like, I remember Bob Lewis looking over at me, and he says, "Robert, that's too bad, but he gave him a great run." And that's the thing, you know, at least he showed up. You know, he didn't, you know, there's nothing worse than having a horse in a big race where you're expected to win, and they turn for home, and he's not running, he's falling back. You know, it's a really empty feeling. But that Silver Charm, he showed up every time. He was just tough.
Yeah, and he's going to be forever remembered as a Kentucky Derby winner, a Preakness winner, rightfully so. But how good was that performance in the Dubai World Cup?
Well, I mean, it was one of those things where, you know, I didn't know what to expect. You know, I've gone there for the first time. And I'll never forget, we took him over, we hauled him over to the barn before we, you know, to saddle him. And he got over there, and I'll never forget, Owen Hardy was my assistant. And we're looking at him, and he's just got his head down, and he's got his bottom lip, like, he looked like, oh, look at him. He looks exhausted. He's like, maybe the trip caught up with him, and he's not going to run. And then we took him out. We gave him a bath, you know, and just to, you know, wake him up a little bit. And then we put the saddle on him, and then we take him. And once he got in the paddock, then he just blew up. That's what he would do. He would just be really laid back, quiet, never got excited. And once he got in the paddock, you could just see he just blew up. And then I thought, and then he had a little little pep to his step, and I thought, wow, we're looking really good. So, and for him to win that, and that horse came to him, I just knew he was not going to let that horse bite. It was just something about him. It's almost like, you know, that Jerry Rice is going to catch that pass in the end zone. You know, it's just one of those things. You know, those great horses do that. They just come through. They just, you know, they don't. And he was so competitive, and he made my job as a trainer much easier. When you have a horse like that, if you have him happy and you have him fit, you know he's going to do the rest, and that's what he did.
When you have horses like Game On Dude, like Silver Charm, and again, Bob, you've been so blessed to be part of so many amazing horses in this sport. When it finally comes time to retire them, send them on to a second career, whatever it might be, you show up at the barn the next day, they're not there. What's that like?
It's a very empty feeling, you know, when you walk by and all my good horses, they leave. And it's, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, you're happy for them. And all you can do is just be thankful that you even had them in your barn and you got to raise them, and they brought you, you know, so much joy. And that's one thing about having a really good horse. It gets everybody together, the families, the owners. You know, it's like, you know, there's nothing like talking about, they'll call it, how's the big horse doing? He's just doing awesome. He worked great. And there's so much excitement when you have a really good racehorse like that. And so, you know, it makes your day. You know, you wake up, you know, most of these people, they have different businesses, and the horses is their escape to excitement, you know. And so, and when you have, you know, not only a good horse, but bragging rights, and, you know, you've got this great horse, it's a great feeling, especially when you come to the barn and you look down your shed row and you see all these heads sticking out and you go, wow, look at this team, you know. And so I've been so fortunate and blessed to have all those good horses.
All right, well, let's shift gears from the past to the present and focus on this weekend and the Pennsylvania Derby at Parks. Maximum Security, who was the Morning Live favorite, announced yesterday that he is scratched because of a colon entrapment. So that makes your horse Improbable the 8-5 Morning Line favorite now. You're looking for a fourth victory in this race, which would put you at the top of the list in the Pennsylvania Derby too. Tell me a little bit about Improbable.
Yeah, you know what? I was really sad to hear about that because, you know, I'm close with Gary and Mary West, and for them, for that to happen, it's just what they've been through this year. It's just tough, you know. This racing, you know, horse racing, it'll get you down because the highs are so high, the lows are so low, and when you go through that, and you know that Maximum Security, I mean, he was, you know, I don't know if we could have beaten him. I was just hoping that, you know, I would have gladly, you know, run second, but you know, you want a horse like this to be in there because you want to beat the best, you know, and so it sort of took a lot. It took all the you know, a lot out of the race, but that Mr. Money, I mean, that horse, I think he should be the favorite. I mean, he's the horse to beat. He's, you know, he's, I think Calhoun has really managed him really well, just, you know, picking the spots with him. Now he's ready for the big dance, and a horse like that is tough. I think Improbable, his race in Del Mar was really impressive. But he was only going a mile. He's fast. We changed his tactics, put him on the lead, let him roll, and put blinkers on him. But he has to behave himself. He has to behave himself in the gate. He has to behave himself in the paddock. And you know, he can be a little bit high strung, but he's doing really well. And so, you know, it's unfortunate that other horse is in there, and Will Away, you know, War Will. He's, you know, the way he ran in the Preakness, you know, he can bring that race back. It was a really turning out to be a top race, you know, and so it's very unfortunate that Maximum Security, you know, just little things. I mean, there's so many things that go wrong in horse racing, you know, and you just, you know, like I see it every year, you know, so it's just, but you just have to, you know, you just got to weather the storm and just, you know, just keep moving forward.
You know, people will forget that Improbable was the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby and ran a really, really good race. He ended up being placed fourth after that disqualification, had some traffic trouble too. One thing you told me when we talked before the race, I remember sitting down with you at the barn, was that Improbable would still have to answer the distance question like so many of the other horses had to, but in particular, Improbable had to do it. He ran a great race, Bob. Did he answer all the distance questions for you?
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I thought he ran well, and then, but I was really disappointed in his race at Pimlico. I was really disappointed because I thought like Mike Smith said, all he did was gallop around there, and he only got beat a couple lanes, you know, so he never really set his body down. So Elliot Walden, you know, he said, let's take him to the farm, we'll freshen him up, we'll give him a few weeks out of just being a horse. And I think it really helped him and brought him back. And now I really didn't have plans going to Parkland. So he ran that race at the, you know, he was going to, I threw him in there at the last minute because Omaha Beach was supposed to run in that race. And then when he changed his mind, I said, well, I'll just throw him in there and see what he does. And he, you know, he beat a really good horse too. He beat a really good horse that day.
Yeah. Well, Bob, good luck on Saturday or good luck later this afternoon. And look forward to seeing you back in the winner's circle again, my friend.
Well, thank you so much, and I love talking about my great horses because I love bringing back those memories because they were the greatest.
You're the best. Thanks, Bob. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.